Hi everyone, welcome back. Talking Polyps. Episode
Hello.
Three? Two?
Episode three.
Episode three, baby. It's me, I'm back, it's Criff. How you doing everyone? I'm here with Sean again.
I am here, hello.
Yes, and we're back for more Talking of Pollocks.
More Talking Pollocks.
And we have a doozy coming up for you this week. Oh my goodness, so much has happened.
Man, we do.
Two angry people shouted at each other on the telly for an hour last night.
Yeah, that was quite amusing to watch, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We'll get on to that a little bit later.
Yeah. We also have Angie Rayner's Battle Bus, which has a fridge.
Oh, looking forward to
that. We've got that coming up.
Yeah.
What else we got coming up? Somebody got a speeding ticket this week.
Someone got a speeding.
Okay. Someone's been fined for speeding. Yeah,
speeding.
Yeah.
And speeding.
Nigel Farage is back again, and he's back again.
Yeah, Nigel Farage's emergency announcement was on Friday last week.
I don't really know why it was an emergency announcement, but that's what we'll be discussing today.
He gave his reasons for it. He gave his reasons for it being an emergency announcement.
Some loose reasons, I would say.
I would also say, but then again, his reasons for not running were very loose.
Yes, I mean, we'll get onto that. But first of all, Sean, how's your week been?
My week has been incredibly busy.
Yeah? What have you been up to?
Since last recording this, I think, what is it, twice I've been in an office now? Normally work from home, so that is a lot.
A lot for you, is it?
Yeah, quite a lot, quite a lot. So, quite a busy week.
Yeah,
so How's your week been?
Yeah, Sean works at home. I have to get up every day at 7 a.m. and go to work, drive there, sit in an office, do my thing. And drive all the way home again.
Sucks to be you,
Sean
though.
Gets to stay in bed for an extra hour, and I have to text him at 8:45 to make sure that his lazy ass is out of bed.
Although you recently haven't been, and this morning I texted you at 9:20. And
you did, yeah.
Didn't get a response until you phoned me at 10:05.
I know. I had a meeting at 9:00 today, but the customer turned up at 9:20.
Oh, right, okay.
It would be a bit rude of me and go, sorry, just need to check that my fiance is awake. Hang on a second.
Yeah, sorry. got to be an alarm clock for someone.
Yeah.
Give us a minute. Soz.
My week's been fine. Busy. But good.
It's always good.
Busy, good at work.
I was going to say, it's always positive to have a busy week. I find, you know, sometimes if I have a quiet week, I find myself a lot less productive.
Yeah, I agree.
So, yes.
Because it's very easy just to sit down and do fuck all.
Literally. And working from home, it's so easy to do that even more so.
I mean, you do that for a job, don't you?
Wow.
All right then, shall we get started, Sean?
Let's get on to what the people are really here to talk about.
Yes. So, let's start. I think we should start, rather than starting with the Tories like we normally do, I think we should start with reform. Right. Because
the big news this week.
Big then. News! Sean's big news! Go on then, give us your big reform news.
Big reform news. Okay, so at like 10 o'clock on Friday morning, well, I think it was a bit before that actually, we all get up. We'll do it.
You were just getting up. Yeah.
We'll go about our daily business, and there's a Nigel Farage is announcing that he is making an emergency election announcement.
An emergency election
at
announcement.
5 p.m. that day. Oh.
An EEA.
Or it was 4 p.m. that day.
He made an EEA. That's convenient, isn't it? What's it? European. I can't remember.
The European Economic Area.
That's the one.
Yeah. But, 4 o'clock comes around, Richard Tice comes out onto the stage. And
basically to say, I quit.
And basically we want to really ramp up this campaign, and he's really got this obsession with turbo boost.
What is this obsession with turbo boosting stuff?
He kept saying.
Do you reckon
he
says that to his
wife? On this election.
We need to turbo boost our relationship.
Yeah, I can quite imagine it. And he's that sort of bloke.
Yeah. Window.
But so he then announces that he has invited, and that's the word that he uses, he has invited Nigel Farage to become leader of Reform UK.
I don't think he was invited. I think he was... he walked into Tyson's office and said, Richard, I am taking over.
Yeah, I also feel like that's...
Come on, Dick, let's go.
So then Nigel Farage appears on stage.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he transformed from a bat or something. No, no. No, he...
It is me, Farage. I want to suck your blood, no?
That's what I was going
for. Is that
for.
What you were
That's
going
what
with?
I was going for.
Britain needs a reform.
So he walks onto stage and says, yeah, I'm going to... This election has been really boring so far. One week in and the election's been boring.
Speak for yourself, Nige. You obviously haven't listened to the Talking Politics podcast.
I know, he's obviously got some issues.
Get some help, Nige.
But the thing is that convinced him to run for MP of Clacton.
I know, Clacton of all places. So what does he do? He goes to Clacton.
He does go to Clacton. So I realised I made a mistake. It wasn't Friday, it was Monday.
Monday, yes.
And then Tuesday he goes to Clacton, doesn't he? And that's where he has a reoccurrence of what happened in 2017.
Was it the referendum?
No, it was the 2017 election that Nigel Farage had a milkshake chucked at him before.
Well, hopefully it's ninth time the charm in Clacton, because as we know, he stood to be an MP. Is it eight times?
Seven. I'm pretty
sure, seven times.
Seven
so eight times.
Times
the charm.
Yeah.
He's tried and failed, I might add, to become an MP. There seems to be a lot of hype around Nigel Farage. I don't know where it's coming from.
It's tough to say.
He's very Marmite,
He is very Marmite. And the thing is, he's basically our Trump.
Yeah, would you make that comparison?
Would you not say
Boris is more our Trump?
No.
In mannerisms, maybe.
Blubberiness. In terms of ideology.
Yeah.
Farage is our Trump.
Britain needs reform, apparently.
No, it doesn't. But the worrying thing and the concerning thing, so there was a poll done today, another one of these YouGov Sky News polls.
Yeah.
That showed since the announcement on Monday.
Yeah.
Reform has jumped just 2 points behind the Conservative Party.
Wow. I mean, this is a poll, right?
It is a poll.
You've got to take it with a pinch of salt, and we don't really know. We've had no manifestos yet, so we're kind of in this sort of grey.
But it's,
area.
We already know that it's very much a game of charisma.
And none of them have got any.
Who likes the person the most? And Farage has a massive following.
He does, yeah.
He led UKIP for many, many years. He led the Brexit. He led, alongside Boris Johnson, the whole Leave campaign.
Yeah, that one well.
And it won. It did go well for him. It won.
That's what I mean. It went well.
Brexit
didn't
happen.
Go well for the rest of us, though, did it?
But he has ruled out any form of deal with the Tory party because, and his reasons for this.
And you quote.
I'm not quoting exactly, but his reasons for this are because the Tories stabbed him in the back in 2019. Well, since 2019. So in 2019.
Yeah.
And when he was leader of the Brexit Party.
Oh, yes, the Brexit Party. That's where, of course, reform came from, which was sort of born out of the remnants of UKIP, wasn't
it? Exactly. So the Brexit Party, they made an agreement with Boris Johnson and stood candidates down in that election.
That's right.
And...
What was Nige going to get in return?
Well, nothing specifically, just Brexit, I suppose. And Brexit has been done, but it was watered down with the Windsor framework and Boris... And he's not happy with that.
Someone is at the door during the podcast, people. Don't worry, Sean will be back soon. We'll edit this out. We could put like an advert here or something, couldn't we? Hey, you're not doing anything on weeknights. At around 7:30-ish, you can come and watch me and Sean on Twitch. That's right, we play games poorly.
Maybe I was there when I got down there.
No one was there when you got down there. Ooh, the mystery of the unanswered knocked door.
Yeah, I wonder who it might have been.
I was just plugging our Twitch stream.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, they can come and watch us play some games poorly.
Yeah, they can. A very mediocre Twitch stream.
Yeah, but...
PM.
Woo!
Right, where were we?
Where were we? We've been talking about Farage.
That's right, yes.
And we'd got onto the milkshake that had been thrown at him.
Yes, and so, they were 2 points down on the Tories.
And they were 2 points down on the Tories. But yeah, so the woman who has thrown the milkshake's been named as Victoria Thomas Bowen.
Now, I've seen inklings on X that was suggested that Farage and this woman have a pre-existing relationship.
So this woman is... so. There's a bit of a story about that. The
okay.
Telegraph are running this story at the moment.
Okay, yeah. You're right there, Sean.
Yeah, sorry. A bit of indigestion, not long had dinner. Essentially, this woman looks like her, but it isn't her. And she's now threatening legal action against people who are claiming it is her.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So her name is Emily Hewittson.
Wow, the resemblance is uncanny, I have to say.
Yeah.
I had me fooled.
So she's threatening legal action against anyone who claims it's her.
Oh, good.
Whereas
well,
the woman
well,
who
that
actually
nips
did
that
it,
in the bud, doesn't it?
Yeah, whereas the woman who actually did it
yeah.
has been charged and is due in court.
Oh, brilliant. So, okay. I mean, look, it goes without saying here that however much you disagree with someone, don't throw milkshakes at them.
It's never right to assault people.
No, you know? I mean, you might disagree with the bloke, but you know, it's that, would you like to have a milkshake thrown over you?
Yeah, they're
no.
politicians. They might be politicians, but at the end of the day, they're still human beings.
That I'm going to go out there and, you know, where I come from, this is considered a dick move.
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
Yeah. A bit of a dick move.
Please don't throw milkshakes over politicians.
Although I want to express this in the strongest possible way. That's not me endorsing Nigel Farage.
No, okay.
In the strongest possible way, I do not endorse that man.
We don't endorse Nigel Farage. However, please don't throw milkshakes over politicians that are campaigning.
Yeah, over any of them.
Any of them.
None of them deserve that.
None of them deserve it. Not even Jeremy Corbyn. Okay? Please don't.
He's actually running, though, so yeah, definitely don't.
He's running away from people trying to throw milkshakes at him now.
Sounds like it. Poor bloke.
All right, then. Moving on, then.
Moving on to a
breaking... Well, not breaking news for us, but breaking. The Green Party exists.
Oh,
Sean.
We mentioned last week that they hadn't
done
anything.
They were very quiet.
That they've been very quiet.
It's very hush-hush from the Green Party. But no, they do exist. They are back.
They have finally launched their campaign.
They are contesting and hoping to win in...
Four seats. They're going to make a difference.
They are going to make a difference. and the opening of their campaign trail was basically don't vote Labour, don't vote Tory, because they are offering the same thing and Labour aren't offering change.
Okay. So it was basically vote for us because...
We're green. Yay.
Green.
Yeah, I'm not really like... It's weird, isn't it? Because the Green Party like on the continent, like in Germany, for example, do so well.
Well,
Is it Ireland? Do they go well in Ireland?
I don't know, but there's a few countries now where the Green. But then again, you see a lot of shifts in continental politics. You know, there's that wave of far right peaking across Europe, wasn't there?
Yeah.
So I think Europe's quite tough to comprehend sometimes, because it goes through waves and neighbouring countries have influences on them from each other.
Yeah, so Ireland, they do well in Ireland as well, and Austria and Belgium.
Yeah. Yeah. See, that's the
and pending new government formation apparently in Luxembourg. But how old is this? This is from October 2023, this particular article.
Oh, right. So they should probably be in power by now then.
Yeah, so, but it's it's strange how they're just so. I want to say lackluster.
I don't know how to put it. So, do you think that part of that is because the party here is poorly organised, or do you think that genuinely that there's not enough people willing to get behind the party, behind what they?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's all well and good having green policy and wanting to make the environment better, but running a country is far more than just fixing the environment.
Yes. And we can't just throw everything at that for 10 years because the tax burden that it would create
would be insane.
We'd never be able to afford it. As much as we want to, and we want to try and lead better lives, and we are all doing our little bit to try and change that. Unfortunately, it's not an issue that can be fixed overnight. And yes, there's been reports that you know Sky News and the BBC are putting out today that saying, you know, we're breaching the 1.5 threshold.
Oh, which that's was the like, UN that announced.
Yeah, the UN have announced this, and you know, it does make for scary reading. But if they're not going to put any effort in,
at the end of the day, as I said, there's so many parts to running a country. There's no, as Theresa May quite rightly said in 2017, there's no magic money tree. And as we all know, in this day and age, everything costs money.
Unless you've got a really rich husband who likes to sell private jets. In which case, there is a magic money tree.
Yeah, apparently.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
God love you, Theresa.
But yeah, so she...
She...
No, lost my train of thought.
She's
no,
gone. It's... And she's gone.
And she's gone.
She's gone. All right, well,
Let's
can...
Move on
to a very, very quick...
Quickly brush over the
Lib Dem segment.
Yeah, again,
and we're gonna start this segment by saying Ed Davey has been fined for speeding.
Oh, my God. And he called Keir Starmer... No, not Keir Starmer. Rishi Sunak out for driving offences.
Here we go. So Ed Davey has been fined for speeding. He was handed a £72 fine at Luton Magistrates Court with a £28 victim surcharge.
Oh no.
And had 3 points added to his licence, court staff confirmed. He was not asked to pay any prosecution costs. A Lib Dem spokesperson said Ed inadvertently broke the speed limit on the M1, which he is sorry for.
How do you... The thing that I'd love to understand is how do you inadvertently speed?
Sir Ed Davey was caught doing 73 miles an hour in a 60 mile an hour zone.
That's 13 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Yes.
That's a pointsable offence.
Which is why he got 3 points.
Oh, he did get 3 points. Sorry, yes, I glossed over that part.
Yeah, at Luton Magistrates Court. Have you been listening?
I heard the £72 fine and the £29 victim surcharge.
He does this at home, everyone, as well. Just selective hearing.
Selective hearing, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, Ed Davey got... fine for speeding, which I thought was quite funny. In regards to the Lib Dems campaign trail, it seems like more of a travelling circus.
It does, doesn't it?
They do not seem like a serious party whatsoever, in my opinion.
No, I completely agree. And I have...
Siri, how
damn
dare you?
Siri. But I was reading somewhere earlier about their battle bus.
Yes, the Yellowhammer.
Yellowhammer 1. because we're American.
Fuck's sake.
What a bunch of dicks.
I know, you just have to... This is a hold your head in your hands just, moment. Yellowhammer 1
to... just pains me.
To tear down the blue wall, TM.
Like, it just pains me, but on the bus, though, towards the back, they've got, like, lots of little shapes.
Okay.
And if you look closely at them, the shapes, they represent policy. So there's like a banknote with like a pound coin in it, so the economy.
Okay.
There's a hospital, there's a bus, there's a train, there's all these different icons, but there's also some like really random ones in.
Like?
So one of them is a dinosaur.
What? Do they know something we don't know?
And there's these little ones in there, and they, the Lib Dem spokesperson was asked about them.
Yes.
And she explained about the ones meaning the policy, the obvious ones, and then she was asked about the dinosaur.
Yeah.
And they've put on there, some of these shapes are references to the stunts that they've done. So the dinosaur is it's to do with the water park that they were at, I believe.
But okay.
That's what they've done. So some of these shapes, while most of them are to do with policy announcements, policies that they
can't hold. they can't even wrap their bus seriously.
No, it's everything is their whole campaign is these stunts, and I just think it's stupid.
I realise we're being quite critical here of the Lib Dems.
Yeah, we need to be impartial.
I mean it. They just don't seem serious.
Okay, on the other hand, I do...
Like, think back to Clegmania. How many seats did they get? 20?
Yes, it was. I think it was in the 20s.
They're on course to win, in the latest YouGov poll, they're on course to win 49.
49 seats, yeah.
Right. They should be taking this seriously. Reform has overtaken them. I don't understand why Sir Ed Davey thinks that going down a fucking water slide is good press right now.
It's... Do you know what it is? It's because it's not that they're looking for good press. They're just looking for any press.
So he pretends to fall off a fucking paddleboard. And then admits pretending to fall off a paddleboard.
Yeah, because what he's trying to do is he's trying to draw attention away from the Conservative Party and the Labour Party.
They pulled another stunt. Rishi was out campaigning at a pub alongside the River Thames. Yeah. And the Lib Dems went past on a fucking boat.
Yeah, holding their placards.
And
they're
Lib Dems in the background. Shouty, wavy people.
And do you know what? Do you know what the Prime Minister did?
What did he do?
Well, his security team just ushered him and his guests inside.
Oh, really?
And then that was it. Wow. The stunt was done.
Wow.
And I'm like, you're just wasting your time.
They should be busy writing their manifestos because we need them.
Well, we have had an announcement on the Lib Dem.
Okay.
Oh, no, it was the Green Manifesto.
The Green Manifesto.
On the 12th of June.
12th of June. Well, that is June. That's quite a ways away,
it's
the
a
12th
week
of
away.
June. The week
Seven
today.
7 days today.
So we'll get the Green Party. I'm hoping that we get the Tories and everyone else's early next week
yeah,
so we can
so
do
I
the manifest spesh.
Early next week we'll have a manifesto that dropping.
Yes, okay. So moving on then to... Sean, this is your special segment coming up.
Oh, okay. What's this? Is this...
Sean's special segment.
Debate Night Live.
Debate Night Live, that's
Debate
right.
Night
Last
Live.
Night, two angry men appeared on our TV shouting at each other while a woman tried to intervene but couldn't really get involved.
Yeah, so before we get into the meat of this section... I do just want to call out Julie Etchingham.
Okay.
Who is the lovely lady leading the debate.
If you're listening, hi Julie, how you doing?
I say leading in the loosest possible way. because she might as well have gone and sat in the corner and shouted from over there. Because no one was listening
she
to
kind
her.
Of reminded me of that please sir, can I have some more? Like she was, please stop talking.
I have another
question to ask, please.
I felt like there was some form of invisible brick wall between her and them. And that they were shouting at each other.
She needed a JCB. That'll tear it down.
But honestly, don't get me wrong, she's a great newsreader. Anchor.
Fantastic journalist.
And journalist. But her skill
at debate host.
Sharing a debate.
Sorry, Julie.
Really desired. So please, ITV, get someone better.
Grow some balls and, you know, Piers Morgan. Throw him in there.
They're never going to hire Piers Morgan. Christ alive.
No, could you imagine? Could you imagine?
Be fair, though. Piers Morgan was on Question Time with Nigel Farage last week. So
that's right. Yeah, he was.
Maybe people are starting to look at Piers Morgan and think, let's hire him again. I know, give us all hope.
Please right? Don't fall into that trap, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't hire Piers Morgan.
So
I don't see the problem with him. He's opinionated, like a lot of people.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I have a problem.
You have a problem with a lot of people.
Their opinion's stupid.
I'm sorry,
I'm joking,
but
I'm
your
joking,
opinions
I'm
mean
joking.
Very little to me.
I'm joking, of course I'm joking.
Okay, so... Moving on then. Sorry, Julie.
Sorry, Julie. So yes,
to the actual debate and the participant of which.
So yes, so this was Sunak versus Starmer.
Sunak versus Starmer.
So this wasn't. We're going to have some like all party debates as well coming up, but this was specific.
Is it like nine now?
Nine parties.
Nine like main. Apparently, that's taking part in this big debate on ITV.
Yeah, because like you've got Plaid Cymru, you've got. Yes, MP. I think okay. The Northern Irish ones have been
as
invited.
Professional political podcasters, we should be able to name all nine, right? Tories, Labour, SNP, the Green Party, Plaid Cymru, the Liberal Democrats, Reform.
Yeah.
Sinn Féin. They're not going to be there, surely.
Well, they've been invited.
Okay, they've been invited. Okay, Sinn Féin have been
DUP.
Invited. That's your nine.
Yeah, that is nine, yeah.
Yeah. So. I can't imagine Sinn Féin are gonna take
part. I
can't
imagine they will.
Because they don't even take their seats in Westminster, do they?
It'd be nice to see Michelle there.
Would it? Yeah. Are you going to nip down?
Yeah.
Have a cup of tea with her? What, Michelle?
Pop down for a brew.
Pop down for a brew. I haven't seen you in ages.
And seen you for...
You haven't been in work in years. Do you work from home?
Oh, hilarious.
Anyway.
But yes, Sunak versus Starmer this
yes.
debate. And as you pointed out in the intro, this was just two men shouting at each other.
I think they just need to fucking get it over with.
And so the debate... Well, before we get onto the meat of the debate, we'll talk about how it ended.
Okay. So let's start at a really good place to start. The end.
Yeah. So... Out of this debate, the winner, Rishi Sunak, according to the poll.
So the immediate aftermath, yes,
was in Sunak. Favour of Rishi Sunak.
51-49%.
Yeah,
right?
There have been a few other polls out since that have put it in either or favour.
Yeah,
like, there's been different polls.
There's been a couple for Sunak, a couple for Starmer. There's been one that was like, I don't know.
The main one to trust, the YouGov snap poll, as soon as it had done. 51-49 in Sunak's favour.
Yeah.
Which is, considering he's so far behind in the poll... I'd say it was a benefit for him.
How do I put this? I feel, watching it last night, I didn't feel wowed by either of them.
No.
Do you know what I mean? I felt like they were both being quite reserved.
Quite coy.
Yeah, they were being quite coy. And I think that's probably because we haven't had a manifesto yet. So they haven't got anything to claim or defend or to attack.
To really use. But one thing I will say is it was very, very clear that the Conservatives, so Rishi, had his set of attack lines and he also had rebuttal lines for known acts that were going to come from Keir and how he would respond.
Yeah.
I did feel that Keir didn't have that so much. He felt less prepared.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people have said that it went more in Rishi's favour, because he was prepared for it. And, you know, some of the answers he gave were quite good.
One of the interesting questions that Rishi got the biggest response to was who was more prime ministerial.
Yeah,
and
that was in the
And Rishi
poll,
came
yeah.
out on top by about 70%, I think, in that particular area.
Which, you know,
which I mean, you know,
day,
it, is it like
to vote for a prime minister? That's kind of what we're looking.
Well, we're not. We think about it from a local perspective.
Well, from a local perspective, no. But everyone's when you're voting, you're always thinking about the bigger picture.
Yeah.
And you will say that because you always tell me that in the last election you voted for the leader of the party.
I did, yeah. And the reason for that was because Brexit.
Yeah, you just wanted it done.
We needed to get it done. It was clogging up the house. Nothing was getting done. You know, renters' rights. COVID was, you know, around the corner. Not that we knew that. But if imagine if we were still going through... Excuse me. Imagine if we were still going through Brexit.
When all that happened.
When COVID hit.
Like, don't get me wrong. There was a lot of issues, but we're not going to get into that right now. We're on the debate. So that's a whole wormhole.
I feel like Sunak was. He felt like the more powerful one in the room.
Yeah,
But I also feel like Starmer had better attack lines and had better responses to, like, when the audience members spoke and gave their questions, he had better responses to that. I feel like he was more connected with the people.
See, I don't know about that. So let's get into some of the topics they talked about, and we'll discuss some of their responses.
Mm-hmm.
I've sort of broken stuff down into topics of what they spoke about, because there were some generalized questions, there were some more specific.
Yep.
So economy and taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So Rishi Sunak's main attack line throughout the entire second half, if not three quarters of the debate, was that Keir Starmer and the Labour Party are going to put up the everyday household taxes by £2,000. That was the main attack line that he was using. This £2,000 increase in taxes for everyday working people, on top of the cost of living, etc., etc. That was his big attack line. There was no policy announcements or anything.
But it was made up.
Economy. But it.
The Tories made that up.
They have so far since released their their calculations, and it does make a lot of assumption.
The whole thing is assumptive. That, mind you, Labour have done the same thing. They've gone back and said, well, if you can make something up, so can we.
And Labour went even further, and instead of just costing policies, they've costed ambitions. So then the Conservatives have rebutted that rebuttal.
a rebuttal of a rebuttal.
Yeah.
A rebuttal.
And they've released their Hold My Beer dossier.
Hold My Beer dossier. This is what Sky News have called it, by the way.
Yeah, no, that's the title. If you go, it says Source Conservative.
Oh, right. So this is the Hold My Beer dossier. Yeah. So they actually called it that.
As far as I'm aware, and if they have, that's hilarious.
That is funny.
And that shows even bigger, because they've just costed all of Labour's ambitions that they've ever mentioned. So it's a bit of a tit for tat situation.
It is a bit tit for tat now, isn't it?
But obviously Keir Starmer and the Labour Party have been rubbishing that. They didn't outright rule out tax rises.
No.
At all.
Nope.
But they did say that the £2,000 tax rise is rubbish.
Yeah. We're not going to know anything until we get manifestos, and then everything is speculative up to now.
Yeah, very much so. The next thing was NHS waiting lists. So when this question came up, it was the first laugh of the night.
Yeah.
And it was a laugh at Rishi Sunak.
Yeah.
Not in his favour, laughing at him, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because Keir Starmer pointed out that when Rishi Sunak promised to get the waiting lists down,
yeah,
the number was at 7.2 million procedures being waited.
Yeah.
Currently, or as of the latest figures, they were at 7.5 million.
Okay.
And then Rishi's response was, yeah, but they are coming down from when they were higher. Because, so when Rishi made that promise, they were at 7.2, but obviously they were still rising. They were still going up.
Right.
So obviously the number was going to be higher than the 7.2 million by the time they start coming down, because Rishi's just made the promise we're going to get them down. No, it's not, can't immediately expect. Have you ever seen like a graph that's been steadily rising over time,
yeah,
like the NHS waitlist, and then
like the COVID cases.
Yeah, and then suddenly drop dead.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen, is it? So it's going to take time. But he didn't exactly make himself look smart.
No.
He said, they are coming down. Why are they higher? I don't know.
You see, the thing is, though, he blamed COVID during that segment for the waiting times. That said, the NHS is still recovering from COVID. I don't disagree with that, because it was hard to get a doctor's appointment before COVID.
Oh yeah, definitely. And the NHS has had problems for years and years and years. But they have got a lot worse. They got a lot worse during COVID, because of obviously all the restrictions and the overcrowding of hospitals and stuff. But the waiting lists are now coming down. They started to come down, and then there was industrial action. And Rishi Sunak made a point of this.
Yeah.
The industrial action did have an impact on the waiting list. And he got a bit of a groan from the audience and from Keir Starmer for that.
Yeah.
In his defence.
Okay.
In his defence.
Unbiased.
He's not wrong. If the staff members who were supposed to be running those operations, those procedures, those 7.2 million procedures go on strike,
yeah,
then those 7.2 million procedures can't be carried out.
But if after they spent 2.5 years saving the nation and didn't receive a pay rise or pretty much any recognition other than a few million people standing on their road and clapping, you'd be pretty pissed off, wouldn't you?
No, I completely agree. And pay rises were offered. And they were offered a pay rise. And as Rishi has pointed out, the government has come to an agreement with all areas of the NHS except for the junior doctors. Because, and this is my personal belief, I do believe that the 35% pay rise that they're requesting is a bit ridiculous.
It's a lot, considering the rest of us have had to deal with, you know, 1-2% pay rises for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, annually.
It's, you know, no one has been getting pay rises in line with inflation. Inflation's been so high.
Yeah.
And inflation's been 11%, and I know they want to sort of make up for real terms pay cuts that they've had over the years.
Yeah.
In the pay deals, but 35% is still a considerable amount.
It's a third. It's over a third.
And don't get me wrong, they are paid quite well, doctors.
What is a junior doctor's salary?
I do not know.
What is the salary for a junior doctor? Sean will find this using this really awesome tool called the internet.
So it all depends. So if you're a first year,
right,
your average salary is £28,800.
Okay.
And £8. So you're, but at that point, you're still a student. You're still learning.
Yeah. So a fully qualified junior doctor, how much?
The overall average. So once you've got speciality training, your average salary then goes up to £56,000.
£56,000 a year.
Yeah.
Plus 35%. That's an extra £19,600 a year to take them up to £75,000 a year.
And you think how many doctors there are, junior doctors there are across the entire NHS estate? You know, that's
how many junior doctors are there across the entire NHS estate?
All of it's NHS England, so it's all of NHS England. And I don't know.
How many doctors does the English NHS have? 132,900.
Crikey, that's a lot.
Times 132,000. That's not right maths. 132,000. Oh, hang on a second. Let me use my keyboard. 75,000 times 132,900. That would be a pay rise of 9,967,500,000.
Yeah, so
roughly.
you can kind of understand why the government
that hasn't figure is from that figure is from November 2022, so that could well be
that'll
different.
Probably be the latest released figures.
So the out of a total workforce of 1.26 million.
Yeah, so it's quite crazy the figures that they're talking about. But,
yes.
So I do understand why the government haven't agreed to that amount.
Yeah.
And I do understand, as I said, I do understand the point that industrial action has had an impact on the waiting.
Of course it's going to naturally have an impact because people aren't working.
Yeah, definitely.
Next segment.
Well, on the topic of healthcare.
Oh, okay.
Rishi, they were both asked if or a family member were waiting for surgery.
Yep.
Would you use private healthcare?
Yes, I remember this question, and Starmer defiantly said, no, I would use the NHS because my wife works in a hospital.
Yeah, whereas Rishi Sunak went, yes.
Yes, I would use private healthcare.
Unequivocally, yes.
Unequivocally, yes.
And I was sat there, and I was like, well, why wouldn't you?
We've used it.
And because we were able
because
to.
Of the waiting list was because the waiting list was too long.
Yeah, so
for surgery for that very thing.
It doesn't. I don't see a problem with it if it's within your means. If you are able to source healthcare from a private facility or a private provider, then why not? We have private schools.
We do have
and
private schools.
Send their children to private schools. What's the difference with healthcare?
I agree. It's a choice, right?
It is a choice. It is a choice.
And, you know, a lot of countries don't have that choice.
And don't get me wrong, there are obviously a lot of people out there who can't afford private health care and potentially can't get health insurance for whatever conditions they might have, pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
But I still think that the ability to use private healthcare, having that choice, we are so lucky.
Yes. Like, I do think, you know, if these private healthcare companies are going to be operating in the UK, then I do think that they should lend some of their resources to the NHS when the NHS is crippled.
We say this, you say this, but so the doctor that I had in that private healthcare.
Yes.
The doctor that I had, they worked part-time in the NHS.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
interesting.
He worked part-time at the private hospital, part-time at the NHS hospital.
Kind of like a lawyer doing pro bono work.
And I spoke to him about it on my checker.
Yeah.
And confirmed that it's an agreement that they have with the hospital.
Oh, right. Okay.
And they do share research.
So that's a good way of doing it.
They probably could go further.
I think if people actually did the research into private healthcare, they would realise that actually it isn't as expensive as people think.
No, it definitely isn't.
And it sometimes it can be the answer.
Yeah.
If you're waiting 8 to 9 months, now don't get me wrong, if people are waiting for serious health ailments, it can cost exponential amounts of money.
Oh,
and it is
like emergency
outside of so many people's reach.
Private emergency.
But for small outpatient appointments, you know, like me, I'm quite happy to admit that I've had to have both of my big toenails removed because they were ingrowing into my toe, right? If I had to wait 9 months to have that now, it happened when I was a kid, but if I had to wait 9 months now, I would go private. There's no doubt about that. If I was waiting for a heart replacement, I think I would trust the NHS more.
Yeah, I think my bank account would also trust the NHS more at that point.
But yeah, there you go. Healthcare.
Yeah, so next. Immigration.
Ooh, tough one.
Tough one. So Rishi Sunak had his usual line, the line that they've got plastered on the bus. Stick with the plan. It's going to work.
Yeah.
It is working. The planes will be off in July.
Sunak, you mean?
Sunak, that's what I said.
Did you say Sunak? Yeah. I'll have to check that.
I did, yeah. But yeah, so the planes are going to be off in July, but only if I'm Prime Minister.
But only if he's Prime Minister. That's because Starmer said, yeah, that I'm going to abolish that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, we're not doing that.
Keir then, in response to that, Keir Starmer said that Rishi Sunak has completely failed. It's stopping the boats.
Rishi can't stop boats. Interesting, Nigel had that on his pedestal as well.
He mentioned it. Yeah. But again, didn't really come up with anything about what they're going to do about it. And
what they're going to do.
That seemed to be the thing. Going back to the strike, to go back to this, but one of the questions, I can't remember, it was something about it was Keir Starmer was asked, how would you stop the industrial action in the NHS?
Right.
And his response?
Yes.
I would resolve it.
Yes. How, though?
But that I would resolve it. That was all he said. That was his answer.
Yeah, but how?
He didn't give any meat to the bone of that one.
Yeah, but how? How are you going to do that?
At that point, I was almost in tears.
Not as much as I was in tears when everybody, when I can't remember what Sunak said. It was something about Rwanda and stopping the boats, but the audience just laughed at him. Can't remember what he said. It'll come to me. Everybody.
Yeah. And then one final point that seems to have been quite a big thing to ask politicians of nations recently.
Yes.
And that is about Donald Trump. Essentially, the question is, if Donald Trump becomes president in November,
yep,
will he be welcome?
No, I wouldn't let him in.
And both Keir Starmer and Rishi Sunak agreed that he would be welcome, that we have a special relationship with the United States.
He's a convicted felon.
And that our...
He's not actually legally allowed to enter the UK.
And that our relationship with the United States is more important than this conviction.
So, you know, so that sets a very dangerous precedent.
But I kind of
get
agree.
Get it, President?
I kind of agree with them because they can't not have the President of the United States be able to visit the country.
They can, because he's a convicted felon.
And you say he's a convicted felon, but the crime is very minor.
Yeah.
It's you know, he's not going to go to jail. He's going to be sentenced to parole.
If he goes to jail, there's going to be a civil war in America. I'm telling you now. There's no way they're going to send Trump to jail. I really want him to go to jail.
He'd be great.
Because the thought
jail.
Of Trump dropping the soap is hilarious to me.
I saw one of the, you know, one of these satirical magazines.
Yes.
One of them had done like a caricature of Donald Trump in the prison showers.
Yeah.
And it was, obviously they've made Donald Trump a big fat saggy man.
I mean, what do you mean they've made him a big fat
well,
saggy
naked,
man?
He was naked.
Right. Okay.
In the shower. And there's some guys either side of him.
Yeah.
Sort of watching him. A bit weird.
Yeah, a bit weird.
But he's showering. His hair's flopped down, obviously.
Of course.
But all the fake tan has started to run off and it's just his, like, half his leg and his feet that have got the fake tan left on them. And I was like,
what colour is he underneath?
Like me.
Oh, like sheet white.
Like that wall.
Like that wall. Brilliant.
So I found that quite amusing.
So back onto the. So anything else on immigration?
No.
But no.
Again, as I said, so Rishi Sunak just stick with the plan. Not going to change what we're going to do about it. We're very confident with our plan.
Yeah.
That's going to work, but we called the election good.
We're so confident this plan's going to work, we're going to make sure that we can't test it beforehand.
Yeah, exactly. And nothing really from Keir Starmer. They have mentioned that they're going to set up this border command force.
France has said no to returning them. I don't understand what...
Well, according to Keir Starmer, you don't need returns agreement.
Do you not? Well, I mean, he did work in the court system, so if anyone knows...
Of course, well, he worked in criminal prosecution. He made that very clear last night.
He did, yeah.
That was a...
Almost as much as Jake Berry likes to tell people that he's the former Northern Powerhouse Minister.
Exactly. But there was a couple... Since the debate... we've covered most of the key topics, but since the debate, there were... there's been some commentary around how Keir Starmer presented himself.
Okay.
So, I don't know if you picked up on it, but he... As he has been since his sort of emotional speech last week, he's been very much pushing that his mum, the nurse...
His dad was a toolmaker.
His dad was a toolmaker. And some sort of analysis and reading, or some research I was reading earlier, actually that started to grate on people a little bit.
Has it?
That people feel that he's trying too hard to be relatable.
I get that.
And I do get that. But then you've got Rishi Sunak on the complete opposite side, who's basically a robot.
Yeah, we mentioned his antenna.
His antenna, yeah. Getting his fucking orders.
So, personal opinion then, of the debate.
Personal opinion is it was poorly hosted, which limited the overall value that you could get from it.
I think it was a complete waste of time because we haven't had a manifesto, but it was interesting to see how each of them presented themselves. I think, for me, personally, Starmer came out on top.
Yeah. I would... The other thing I would say is that... It's gone.
Really, that's the second time today.
Really important point.
Really important point, and it's just gone.
You carry on with what were you saying?
I was saying that, you know, Starmer came out on top for me. He seemed to have better answers that connected with people more.
Yeah.
And I think people are looking looking for a saviour is the right word. But
looking for a human.
I think the people of the United Kingdom are looking for someone different, and he's saying those things.
I understand that. The point has come back. I would like it next time to maybe be a bit more focused on policy. Hopefully we've got to get some manifestos and they can be a bit more focused on policy.
Because at this point, they're just making it up.
And I felt like the 45-second time limit to answer was flouted most of the time, but also made it quite difficult for them. Explain what you're going to do about the NHS in 45 seconds. What? That's a big thing to cover.
Yes, it is a big thing to cover. One thing that does annoy me is a little bit is when they go yes or no.
Yeah.
Some of these, the questions that they ask, you know,
yes or no questions.
Yes or no. How do you rebuild a 1.4 litre Renault engine?
No.
Like, you know, you need more than one word, yes or no, to answer some of these questions.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes you just need to give them chance.
And
you do have to look through the waffle that comes out of their mouths, because there is an answer in there somewhere.
Yeah, and politicians word stuff in very specific ways, the same as lawyers do, because obviously they're trying to protect themselves and trying to keep stuff as close to their chest as possible.
Yeah.
It's tough to say if that debate benefited either of them overall.
I think it was a good warm-up of things to come, no?
Yeah, I think the important one is going to be when you've got all the other parties there and they're all discussing stuff.
Which we'll discuss next time.
Yeah.
I don't know when the next one is.
Next week.
Next week. Okay, great. So we'll discuss that next time.
Yeah, so...
I've got some quick-fire points to make.
Quick-fire points, okay.
Yeah, Criff's quick-fire points to make before we go today. Because unusually we're streaming straight after this today, which you can catch on Twitch, like we were discussing earlier when Sean was answering the door. Remember that, everyone?
Yeah, to the ghost.
All right, here we go then. So, quick Tory bullet points. Tory MP Mark Logan for Bolton North East. He defected to Labour.
Labour, yeah, but he's not running.
He's not running. It crosses the proverbial floor, as it were. The Tories have announced a number of cool things to get the pensioners on side, such as points on your licence for fly tipping.
I think that's a really good idea.
I think that's a good idea. Landlords are getting new powers to evict tenants, but there's nothing new for tenants.
Don't label that in that way, because it's not that they're getting new powers to disrupt tenants. To evict tenants. They're getting...
Or disruptive tenants.
Disruptive tenants. So there's certain criteria. So the law already describes what a disruptive tenant is.
But still nothing for tenants yet.
Because the Renters Reform Bill is...
happening.
It will be part of a renting reform package.
I have the feeling that if Labour were to get into power, they would want to do something about that. Anyway, also they're looking at hotspot policing.
I don't know what that means.
They haven't really explained what that means. I have a feeling it's probably like, you know, if there has been an incident. I mean, but basically what they do now, increase police presence in this area.
Okay,
it'll be something like that. But again, we've mentioned this last week, Sunak still seems alone.
Well,
Where's his crew?
I've seen a few more people out.
Yeah?
I've seen a few more people out. I saw Grant Shapps has been out on the bus. James Cleverly has been out on the bus. Lord Cameron has been very quiet and hidden away.
Well, he's not. He's a lord, isn't he?
But he's still a member of the cabinet.
That's true. That is true. What else we got?
They've probably dusted him off and put him on the shelf. They'll get him out of the next.
Go on, election. Cameron. Back in your cage.
They'll get him out of the next election.
They'll get him out at the next one so he can win it back.
Yeah.
Good lord.
Other than that, I've not seen many people out. I've seen a bit of love for this trust.
It's also worth mentioning that YouGov poll, it has said that high-ranking Conservative MPs, such as Jeremy Hunt, Penny Mordaunt, Grant Shapps, all in danger of losing their seats.
And what was really funny, so this poll came out live on Sky News at dead on 5 p.m. They had a countdown and everything, and I was watching it. And while they were delivering the poll, Sophie Ridge and Sam Coates were delivering the poll and the results, and they were going through it. Sam Coates' Apple Watch and phone started to ring. And he was like, oh, it's Grant Shapps. Grant Shapps is ringing me live on air. And then Sophie was like, you need to answer it. So he did and explained to Grant that you're live on Sky News. And he just heard that you're about to lose your seat to the Lib Dems. And then he hung up.
Hung up on Sam Coates. Come on, Grant.
He did answer for this later on because he was actually interviewed by. So he was the planned interview with Sophie Ridge later that evening.
Ah, okay.
He was due to be there anyway. So Sophie Ridge asked him about this, and he went, "Well, it's an unplanned press attack. I felt ambushed. I didn't know what to do."
Yeah. Ah, so we proceed out with it.
Which is fair enough. It's what everyone in... It's what any politician would do.
Yeah,
in,
so
in sense.
Starmer is loving all these defections that keep happening. So he's got another one on board, but he's not actually running, so it doesn't really matter. Anyway, moving on to... moving us swiftly on to Labour and their quick bullet points. Angie Rayner's battle bus. It's got a fridge.
Yeah, but no Boris Johnson.
No Boris Johnson in the fridge, as Starmer said at Angie Rayner's battle bus announcement day.
Yeah.
So, Diane Abbott and the Will She Won't She saga. As it turns out, she will. And she's standing for Labour.
Yes, in her Hackney...
Somewhere in Hackney.
Hackney, yeah.
Diana, I'm pretty sure it's Hackney North.
I'm pretty sure it's Hackney North, yeah.
Hackney North.
Yeah.
Hackney North and Stoke Newington.
Yeah, but on the back of that controversy, there's been some other controversy.
Ooh.
Hasn't there?
There has, yes. That's my next point. Don't steal it. Point.
Sorry, you carry on. You take it away.
Vaughn Gethin.
Oh, there's even more controversy after that as well.
The Welsh First Minister.
Oh, the poor bloke. He was...
For Labour has lost a motion of no confidence in his leadership.
He's literally been in power 7 weeks.
He's been in power for 7 weeks, yeah.
Like, come on.
It's a non-binding... no confidence motion, so it doesn't matter. He can carry on.
Oh yeah, he's already made that. Now
it's basically
carry
a
carry on in post.
We're very annoyed with you.
However, it is a bit of a slap in the face because he actually only 27 people voted against it.
Yeah.
That Labour were complaining because normally if there are MPs, MWPs, members of Welsh Parliament,
MUPs,
are sick.
Yeah.
Then they'll delay stuff like this.
Yes.
However, they didn't delay this, but Labour were like, well, two of our R's are sick. And obviously, at the moment, for Labour, it's very much, they hold 30 seats and there's 30 opposition seats.
Yeah, exactly. So they need it.
So it's on a knife edge for them.
Can they not vote over teams?
So they tried to get virtual voting, but they couldn't get it set up in time.
Oh, okay.
But... I looked at the results and he only ended up with 27 votes in favour. So add the two that were sick, he would have still lost because he only got 29 votes. So
the 31.
There, no, so there was another. It would have been 30 to 29.
Right.
Because the one that didn't. The other one that didn't vote abstained.
Ah, okay.
But I don't know who it was. I haven't seen the list of who voted how yet.
Yeah, but despite this, Labour are still ahead in the polls quite considerably.
Yeah.
But like Sean said earlier, reform are creeping up on the Tories. I just can't see that translating to election day gains. I mean, I predicted that reform would get 10 seats, and I'm still holding true to that prediction.
So when the MWP... The big poll that came out about how many seats everyone's going to have, that obviously came out and said reform was zero. But that all that polling was done before Farage had
exactly
announcement election. Since then, the latest has put them on. I think the latest, the mass survey poll, whatever they're called, covered. It got them up to 4 seats.
Yep.
So they are creeping up. And that was one that was sort of off the cuff. I don't know too much about the sample size for that one. But the YouGov one next time will be.
Yes, and so you pinched my other point earlier, saying Starmer was defiant that he wouldn't use private healthcare.
Well, it was from the debate, so.
Yes. We've got to the end of our poorly written list, Sean.
Woo!
There we go.
What a week it's been, though, guys.
It's really starting to heat up out there, and we can start to see the mud that's being slung.
Yeah, and things are starting to change.
Things are starting to change, and they're starting to shift as well.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to watch over the next few weeks how things develop.
Yes. Now, if you have any questions for me and Sean, which you probably won't, but we'll keep an eye on our inbox anyway, you can email us, talkingpollocks@cliffandsean.com. Nice and simple. It's Criff, C-R-I-F-F, the letter N, and then Sean, S-E-A-N. It's in the description. I don't know why you waved, Sean. They can't see you.
I don't know why I waved.
It's a podcast, not a VOD. A vodcast?
Vodcast.
Stream!
Stream.
Well, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully with some more information about the manifestos, because at the moment we're just sort of... Yeah. There's nothing really to talk about. People are just making shit up.
They are, aren't they?
Yes.
But hopefully, as we said, next week we should start getting them. So, fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. We will start getting some manifestos in. We know when we've got the green parties. We should be expecting everybody else's, I'm hoping, later in the week, or earlier in the week, rather.
Yeah.
Until then, we'll be back next week at the same time, Thursday. And... Sean, anything else to add?
Not from me.
No? All right then. Love you, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.